David, welcome to the show. You have been on exactly 927 podcasts as a guest. You've covered a huge array of topics, whether it's the beginning of your life, what you're going through right now, your successes, your failures, a lot of different topics. But what is one question that you wish more people asked you?
How can I help them? I wish they would ask me. People are afraid to ask for help. They don't know that when you ask for help, when you receive things from people, you are giving them a gift. Because when we are able and capable of helping others, and I pride myself on being able to help people or know people to help people. So every time someone says, "Hey, Dave, can you help me?" They are giving me the gift to be closest to God, to know my highest self. Because when human beings are able and capable of helping other human beings, they're closest to God and they're finding their higher self. And so many, especially young people, feel as if they would be laughed at, scoffed at, or maybe even made fun of for asking for help. But the truth of faith and humility lies within the context of giving the greatest gift of others to allow them to be able and capable of helping us and allow them to be closest to God and allowing them to know their highest self.
Yeah. Do you think that for your success, you did ask for help enough, or do you wish that's something you did looking back?
Oh, it's the biggest piece of advice I would have given myself at 18, 28, 38, 48. I'm 58 and I still remind myself, don't forget to ask for help, give the gift to somebody else. You're either humble or you're about to be. And somebody else has already paid the dummy tax according to the subject matter, topics, or expertise that you're looking for.
Yeah. You've been so successful in what you do. How do you not let your ego get in the way of it?
Oh, it gets in the way. It's just, I keep it there for minutes and moments. I don't try to resist it. I don't try to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, or deny it. I identify it and I know it's there. I know the ego is going to evoke itself if my body is in harm's way or my mind is in harm's way. Or even today with social media, my perceived identity is in harm's way. My ego is going to evoke itself. And so for me, I just look to see what I'm doing to interfere with my potential. I identify the response or reaction to fear that the ego has evoked, and then I simply stop. Like I said, I don't go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, or deny it. I just stop. I breathe through my nose, out through my mouth. I drop to center, to ease. I recollect, remind, and remember who walks with me at all times, an omniscient, all powerful, all knowing source, your God, who has no intention other than to protect me and promote me and love me and perfect me. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't see any evidence, even if the evidence I do see is contrary to what I believe or see, I know that what I walk with will protect me, promote me, love, and perfect me. And within the context of that is how I remind, remember, and recollect myself that I'm either humble or I'm about to be.
Right. I love that so much, David. So on Ed Milet's podcast, I'm going to quote you. You said that losing $100 million wasn't your lowest point, but your lowest point was the period before the loss when you were wealthy but disconnected from purpose. Another thing you said on Andy Frisella's podcast, Andy Frisella is a huge role model of mine. So this is really cool to see you on there. You said you cannot find outside of you what you can't find inside, which I thought was very interesting, right? It's like you can't buy gratitude. You can't buy love from other people unless you have it within you. The next thing is you went bankrupt in your later 30s, right? Maybe early 40s. And you had, I guess you can say, root problems in your early 30s, which meant that there was a gap between when you had started having these problems and when you kind of lost it, right? So what does it take to close the gap between knowing your philosophy and actually using it?
Yeah, wisdom, number one, you have to seek and be more interested than interesting. But the thing that was missing from my life was I was trying to fill a God-sized hole with everything but God. I was missing faith. And the faith that I have is based off of something bigger than me that protects me, promotes me, loves and perfects me more than my mom. But it's my God, and I encourage people to have their God, whatever that may be. As long as it's bigger than you and loves you more than your mom, you're going to be okay. And that's an infinite God to me that will allow us to shorten that distance of resistance. You see, every problem, and this was something I wish somebody would have told me when I was your age, every problem already has the solution in it. Every problem outside of you has the solution inside of you. It's just a lapse of time until we find it. That's why they call it a resolution, right? It's a resolution of what's already there inside of you from what you're seeking or what you're feeling or saying or doing outside of you. So I try to encourage people to do the hard work in a consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential. And the hard work is to be annoying to yourself and others by being honest and repetitive. Nothing's more annoying to human beings than being honest and repetitive. And the reason is nobody likes feedback in the present. There is also a lapse of time between feedback and process of the feedback, the acceptance and acknowledgement of the feedback. Whether you agree or disagree is irrelevant. It's what we learn from the feedback, whether we feel strongly for it or strongly against it, or maybe we don't feel at all. But this idea of the lapse of time between the problem and solution that exist together and finding out what that resolution is a key component to shorten that distance of resistance. And it takes wisdom and faith to do that.
Right. And I think, Dave, another thing you're talking about too is like that's where your ego can get involved when you're not going to look for feedback, even though you know you want to. And something interesting you even said was talking about resolutions and solving problems that already have answers to it. I think that's the dummy tax that you were alluding to before, you know, when people would rather just go through the problems, make the mistakes instead of just asking, hey, David, like I'm in the situation you've been through before. What do I do from here?
Yeah, of course. You know, here's the interesting thing about going from A to B is that there's three types of people that can speed up the process from A to B. There's a mentor. There's somebody that's sitting at B saying, hey, bro, go this way, avoid that trap, avoid that hole. And then there's a teacher that says, hey, this is how you do it, right? It's, you know, there's certain things you have to do and I can teach you the skills and the knowledge to do so. And then there's a coach that brings the best out of you, the desire out of you that you must be what you can become. You must do what you must do every day in an enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. But here's the most interesting thing about mentors, coaches, and teachers, whether it's one person, two, or three, they can accelerate. They can make it easier to go from A to B. But to get from A to B, it's a private lesson. It's between you and God. And these other people are just there to assist you. They may be the pencil in the hand of God, but you got to write the story, man, and you got to do the work, and you got to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. It'll make it easier if you find people like David Meltzer, Ed Milette, and Andy Frisella to help you. No doubt, you won't have to pay the dummy tax. You won't lose over $100 million to get to where I am. But you still got to do the work, man. You got to do the work. It's a private lesson between you and God.
Yeah, that is... that's a great point. It's something that I think I need to internalize a little bit more because for my podcast, it's a good way for me to be able to get lessons from people. But at the same time, you're right. Like the lessons need to be experienced as well. And sometimes I'll spend so much time trying to go around a lesson and then end up having to go through it. And I'm like, okay, I did all of that just to arrive at kind of the same answer because I made the mistake. Shifting gears a little bit, you talked a little bit about your mom and I guess the situation that you were in before. On the Comebacks podcast, you said something I thought was very interesting. You said that you grew up poor and you feel sorry for those who didn't. And when you were little, your mom took you and your brothers to the Rose Bowl parade and you got to see Warren Moon win MVP. And fast forward a couple of decades, you co-founded a business with them, which is a crazy full circle moment. So my question to you, David, is how did your financial deficit play not only into your success, but you getting into rooms with the people that are most successful?
The financial struggles that I went through helped me because of the lessons that it taught me about myself, about what was important, about how to prioritize the non-negotiable behaviors. And it wasn't just from making the money that taught me, it was from losing the money as well, about what I was supposed to learn. I remember going to my mom's house when I lost everything and telling her that I had lost everything, over $100 million. I had lost her home when the only reason, I'm sure you can identify with this, the only reason I wanted to be rich was to take care of my mom. I wanted to buy her a house and a car, create financial security. And now here I was, after having all that money, losing her home. And I told her, I said, "Mom, why is God punishing me?" And she smirked at me at the time. I didn't even think she heard what I had to say. She just smirked at me. And I said, "What's so funny?" She said, "God doesn't punish anyone. Son, God is protecting you. God is promoting you. He's perfecting you. You got to figure this out. You got to figure out how." I immediately responded, "Well, then, Mom, I don't believe in God." She smiled huge and looked at me and said, "Oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God." There's a lot of lessons that money carries with it because it amplifies who we are. Just like AI, it's here to make humans more human. And with that money, I decided to utilize a different path for the sake of others and for the sake of having fun. Not for me, but through me. For the sake of others, in an infinite loop of giving, where I give more, I'm given more, I receive more, and I ask for more than more with quite confident faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. So not only can I give more than more, give more than more, be receiving more than more, but then ask for more than more than more. Because I'll tell you what most people do, including my mom, they give more and receive less. And if you give more and receive less back, it is a zero-sum game. No matter who you are, how kind you are, it does not matter. You will end up at zero. It is a zero-sum game. But when you realize the infinite loop of giving, to give more and be given more and to receive more, and in that reception of more, you're giving more to other people because they're able and capable of helping you receive more, and then asking for more than more. So that continual loop, that infinite loop of more than enough of everything for everyone. No longer was I going to live in a world of to me being punished. No longer I'd even live in the world of for me in some sort of trade or negotiation, a quid pro quo of value. But instead, I was going to live in faith of something bigger than me, with more than enough of everything for everyone, an infinite, abundant, unified system with more than enough of everything for everyone.
You talked about something that was really interesting at the beginning. You were saying how, you know, God had a plan for you. And it's interesting because I remember you had a social media post pretty recently, and it said, or it was you saying that if you were to tell me, you know, when I went bankrupt, that this is all going to be for the best, I would have, you know, kicked you. I would have been like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So for the people that are listening to this right now, that might be going through something difficult, how can we reassure them that this is all for the best? This is part of their path, especially when they're currently emotional about it.
Yeah, you got to use the tools that we were given. So the first tool that we're given is gratitude. So when you feel like you've been kicked in the nuts, use the gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons and how this could actually be good for me. And then forgive yourself. Forgive yourself from that perspective of gratitude. Forgive yourself for all the mistakes that you have made. Because you can't give what you don't have. And it'll just bring so much ease and dissipate, dissolve, and disappear the dis-ease that's created by the setback, failure, mistake that's hurting you. And then most importantly, be accountable. Immediately ask yourself when you're kicked in the nuts, what did I do to be responsible for this? What did I do to attract this to myself? What am I doing to participate in this perception of that? And most importantly, what am I supposed to learn from it? Because life's about lessons, and the lessons keep on coming until we learn them. And we're going to forget every lesson there ever was, but we have the power to remember, remind, and recollect every lesson there ever was as well. And as we utilize accountability to take back the control from the uncertainty and the circumstances that exist every single day, when we take control through learning, we then can live in spirit, inspired, being able to allow life to come through us for others, for the sake of others, and for the sake of fun. Because I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun that isn't happy, which is how I derive the capability to help other people, empower other people, to empower other people, to empower other people to be happy. And if I can do that on my mission of empowering over 1 billion people, changing the world through others, that's truly what will make me happy.
David, my last question to you. You have so many different pieces of content out on the internet. Like we mentioned, you've been a guest on over 900. You have your own podcast with so many episodes. If all of the content that you've pushed out in your books and your podcasts was erased, but you got to share one thing with every person in the world, what would that thing be?
I get emotional, but it's simple. Be kind. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. It's that simple. But please, everybody, remember the simple things to do are simple not to do. So be kind. That's all I ask.
David, thank you so much for coming on.